This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, an effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. I use it with my patients at the Hoffman Center all the time. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, the company is offering you special savings of $50 and free shipping. To find out more, go to TryZonaNow.com or call toll-free 1-866-669-9662. Be sure to mention Dr. Hoffman to get your $50 savings and free shipping. That's 1-866-669-9662 or tryzonanow.com. Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It is once again time for our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions. Listener questions come to us via email, radioprogram@AOL.com. Radioprogram@AOL.com is the email address that you can send your questions to. Please make them relevant and succinct. And no, we can't completely hone in on a very complex medical problem as if it were an in-office medical consult. But if your question is appropriate and of sufficient audience interest, we'll be happy to field it. Each week we do a weekly Q&A with Layla. How are you doing, Layla?
Okay, Dr. Hoffman. How are you doing?
And in case there are people who are not aware of who you are, I know you're illustrious, but once again, Layla Mutin is our Hoffman Center nutritionist. She is a registered dietitian, and she also has advanced degrees, a master's degree, and a CCN degree, correct?
CDN.
Oh, CDN. I'm sorry.
CDN credential, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's New York State.
Oh, great. Okay.
You know, the police state we practice in.
That's interesting. I just did an article I posted on Facebook, for those of you who follow me on Facebook, which is fun because I post articles of interest. And this is an article actually from... I think it was from Bloomberg, and it was, they did a rating of the economic freedom, you know, of the states in the union, and New York comes in 50, dead last, number 50 out of 50. And, you know,
wow.
And that has to do, you know, people who are in business can tell you that their regulations are just insurmountable. But from our standpoint as, nutritionally oriented practitioners in New York, the way that it affects us is that New York doesn't permit us to do many of the tests that are allowed in the 49 other states for, you know, on the functional medicine tests that are allowed for patients. So always you know the drill. I find out about this great new test that's going to really shed light. For instance, there's a new test that measures zonulin, which is what your intestine throws off when you have a leaky gut syndrome. It's sometimes a sign of pre-celiac disease. Even before you develop celiac disease, you might produce zonulin, or that it's produced when the tight junctions in your, of the cells that line your intestine are leaky, frankly. Okay. So this is a simplification. So that's a great test of great interest. And now it's been approved for use in 49 out of 50 states. But so I always say, Layla, this is a great test. Why don't you call up and find out if it's available in the state of New York? And it's not. It's not.
And it's not.
Yeah. It's almost predictable.
Sorry, you can't do it in New York.
Yeah. Right. It's like.
And, you know, 90% of the time, this is the answer we get, which is very frustrating because, you know, you're asking a carpenter not to use his nail gun or his hammer.
Right. Right.
Which is ridiculous.
It's sort of like, you know, it's like the soup Nazi on the Seinfeld series, you know, the famous episode. It's like the test Nazi. It's like, no test for you. No test for you. It's like, it's really, it's like, oh, please, can I have the test? No, you can't have the test because you're in New York.
No.
Okay.
You're in New York. This is the police state.
Right. Mm. So how do we get on talking about New York? But anyway, so.
Because I said, when you asked me about my CDN credential, I said it's in New York State. And
right.
That's how we.
So the other thing.
That's how we digress.
Yeah. The other thing that's in New York is, you know, with a bow to my naturopathic colleagues, some of whom are just very, very gifted, smart.
Yes.
Integrative medicine practitioners, they cannot practice as naturopaths in the state of New York. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't naturopaths who are practicing. They just can't practice with full credentialing. And they have to kind of be a little bit like, you know, the French resistance under German occupation. You know, they have to kind of just a little bit.
NDs are fantastic, and I don't know why, and hopefully that's going to change.
I do know why. There is something in New York called the MSSNY, the Medical Society of the State of New York. It is a very monolithic organization that doesn't want the competition of naturopathic doctors. So they are a powerful lobby in Albany. And they have a lot of throw weight, and the naturopaths, they got, you know, a little, they have like one little lobbyist, and, you know, they pay him maybe, you know, $45,000 a year. And you got MSSNY, who pays a fleet of lobbyists, millions and millions and millions of dollars a year to protect their hegemony over the practice of medicine in the state of New York. So, so that's, you know, it's just a sheer, it's a, monopolistic practice.
Is that society, do you think, comprised of just MDs? Or?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, MDs.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, I once belonged to that society, but I saw what they were up to, and I kind of dropped out.
Yeah, good for you. Wow.
I actually once lectured to that group. They invited me to lecture on integrative medicine. It was fun, you know, but, you know.
Did anybody in the audience look bemused?
No, they were interested because already this was a self-selected audience. It wasn't like compulsory. So it was offered. They said, you know, if you want to attend a lecture on integrative medicine, Dr. Ronald Hoffman will present. And then so some curious doctors showed up and they were appreciative, and it wasn't necessarily they're going to go back and practice it, but I think they were open-minded enough to say, look, our patients are demanding it. We should know about it. Even if we don't practice it, we should be familiar with some of the, precepts of this. So that, I mean, I give them credit for that.
Yeah. Well, you know, then that's a call to action.
Yeah.
Patients have to demand it.
And they do.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's everything. It's we even as consumers can determine what's going to roll and what's not depending on what we consume or what we prefer, where our dollars go, where all of that is spent as well. So
indeed.
That's really a call to action.
Yep. So let's get to questions. What's going on this week? You know, I have to say it's a little bit, you know, the dog days of summer. But interest continues, and you were getting lots of questions. People are interested. Mm-hmm. So here we go. You know, we continue trying to address the public interest in getting some of these questions addressed.
Okay. We've got an email here. I don't have a name. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, what do you think of wireless home security systems? Are they dangerous like cell phone towers?
Well, from my personal experience, in order to get an insurance deduction, I had to install one. I discount. Mm-hmm. So I had to install one in my home. Maybe I shouldn't say this, but you know, are there any burglars listening?
You are protected.
I don't really use it because the biggest problem is that it just keeps going off all the time, and that's a nuisance. And, you know, so theoretically, that's yet another source of electromagnetic radiation that we subject ourselves to. Now, I don't know if it's incremental above and beyond the fact that we all now have Wi-Fi in our houses.
Right.
And you know, wherever you are in the house, you're going to pick up those waves. Now, those waves aren't like little magic waves. There's really some energy and wavelengths associated with those waves that are constantly being broadcast. So, you know, I think that's
a good question. And we're getting them in certain public areas, too. Pedestrian areas here in Manhattan.
It's a good question.
Certain subway station stops, Starbucks, any of those places with wireless. So
it's a good question. And, you know, the problem with it is that, on the one hand, people who talk about this are generally considered nuts. And in fact, you know, there's an element of, shall I say, ambiguity about this, because in the past, you know, a popular psychiatric designation, whereas people who, you know, would say that they were bothered by radio emanations from the radio or emanations from their TV, you know, and that would get you a trip to the psychiatrist real quick, you know, and maybe
especially if you're wearing a foil cap.
Exactly. And maybe like a commitment to an inpatient facility, you know. But on the other hand, the bothersome thing is that there is a real basis for believing that these can be harmful and deranging to our bodies, because our brains, our nervous systems are based on electrical impulses, and they can be interfered with. So, what are you going to do? You can have your home assessed for this. You can take precautions. You can turn off your Wi-Fi at night when you're sleeping, especially if your Wi-Fi transmitter is close to your bed. There are certain appliances that give off. What's disturbing to me is, you know, I'm walking around with my iPad and the microwave is on, or the, you know, or a dimmer is on. It's going to interfere with my iPad. So what's it doing to my head? You know, when I put my head into that field, my brain, you know, which is electrical, right. We know it's electrical waves. So, you know, we've done some shows on that subject, and, I think it's a big morass. We really need to do more research, and it's tough to do research when telecommunications is one of the biggest industries in the world. And, you know, it's sort of like, you know, if you think it was hard to get the tobacco industry to admit that there were problems, forget about it when it comes to telecommunications harms, you know, associated with, you know, cell phones and Wi-Fi. I mean, there's definitely some issues there.
But, you know, none of that is going to go away, because the demand is so strong, and even the way people work, not just the way they work, but the way they live, it's in demand. It's like you don't want to be without your air conditioner in the summer, but we're talking about this is a daily occurrence, whether it's the cell phone up at your head or the iPad, Dr. Hoffman, that you walk around with, or my little tablet at home, or my laptop that I just can't be without every, you know.
Or the very device that's bringing you this podcast.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, the one thing we do at home is we shut off our wireless route. Everything gets shut down. At night, and we don't have any of those appliances or systems or anything in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. It's completely, there's not even a television. So it's all out there. The phones are charging out there in the foyer or in the kitchen or some other room, and not, And that's one of the best ways I think we can try to protect ourselves.
And you know what's interesting is now they're coming out with cell phones that don't even have the capability. See, I used to say, well, you know, they're wireless headphones. And I go, I don't want those. I want to just use a wire that goes to my phone, and I'll put my phone on my hip, or I'll put a little, like an MP3 device on my hip when I run, so that there's no transmission directly to my skull from this device. Now, there won't even be an earphone, connection that it'll all have to be Wi-Fi on the future. That's the innovation on the future iPhones, all the future iPhones, but cell phones in
any
general.
Any smartphone,
right. Android or Apple.
Well, we should also look at the research or the stats to see if the prevalence of gliomas are going up. That's also a big question mark.
And the problem is, you know, if it is it due to that, or is it due to the multiplicity of factors that increase cancer in our environment? It'll be very hard to pin that down, And you certainly don't want to do human studies on that, right? You don't want to say, okay, we're going to take, we're going to take babies and we're going to put little, cell phones to their ears and see if they develop brain tumors. So I have to do animal experiments, and then they'll say, okay, well, it causes problems in rats, but we don't think it causes problems in people.
Right. Do you remember when there was a big question mark about why is all the bee population, the bees are gone, they're dying? Mm-hmm. And it was thought to be due to cell phone and cell towers and so mm-hmm. forth, but it might have more to do with
pesticides.
herbicides than anything.
Right.
So, mm-hmm. yeah, lots of things.
Yep.
Well, the world we live in. Okay.
Yep.
Thank you very, very much for your question. All right.
Get a guard dog.
Get a guard dog.
Get because a really like vicious
instead of
like a Weimaraner or something, you know, like a German Shepherd.
It's organic. Or at least put a sign out.
That's organic.
You know, beware of biting dog. Not just beware of dog, but beware of biting dog.
You're talking about organic pest control. Really. How about organic home security? That's organic home security. It's like, you know,
there you
dog.
Go. Okay, we've got an email from Michelle. I'm a healthy 44-year-old woman trying to conceive. Do you have any recommendations for diet and supplements that would help support my reproductive health?
Ooh, yeah,
That's a whole podcast.
In fact, that's a consult. In fact, there's a whole subsection of integrative medicine which is devoted to enhancing fertility, both male and female fertility.
Yeah.
And it also takes into account preconceptual planning, where you really want to maximize your own personal health, but also maximize it on account of what you're transmitting to your baby. So,
yes.
You know, you detoxify, you try to change your exposure to household products and your exposure to harmful chemicals and foods, and you try to optimize your nutrition. You know, so two things. One is to overcome infertility. The other is to optimize the child's health. So there's a lot of factors involved. And, you know, is there like, you know, something like royal jelly or something that makes the, you know, some magical potion that makes the queen bee, you know, very prolific that you take in, you know, is that going to, you know, do it? No, probably.
Well, I would first start with the basics. I would make sure that Michelle is starting at a healthy weight, a healthy body BMI or body composition. I would inquire as to whether her cycles are regular. That's also a factor for being fertile or not. She wants to avoid crazy fertility treatments and go natural. She's concerned about her age. Age 44. I know off the top of my head, Dr. Hoffman, maybe mm-hmm. you remember,
yeah.
we've had at least two patients who were mm-hmm. 50
yeah.
who gave birth.
Yes.
And everybody was fine, you know.
Well, in fact, you know, I have to say there's one patient and, you know, she's very willing to share, so I'm not violating HIPAA by saying this, but the couple came to me. They were told that there was no possibility that they could conceive, and sort of last resort, they went holistic. You know, we gave them dietary advice, both the father and the mother. And the problem actually seemed to be about both of them. The father really had very poor sperm quality. You know, one of the things that's mm-hmm. happening as a worldwide trend is that sperm quality is declining. That means there's wow. fewer sperm and they're more misshapen sperm and their motility isn't good. In other words, they don't have the ability to climb up the fallopian tubes and reach the ovary to fertilize eggs. And so we worked on both of them, and lo and behold, they naturally conceived. And they were so excited about that that
uh-huh.
they did something which, you know, could stigmatize a kid for his entire lifetime. They actually gave him the middle name Hoffman.
Oh!
So his name is Matthew Hoffman, yeah. and I won't say the last name.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, he's now of an age, he's old enough to say, well, why is my middle name Hoffman? And they said, yeah, because that's the doctor we went to that helped make you.
And if we're not for you, there would be no you. Exactly.
Right. So,
wonderful.
So, yes, in short, yes. Mm-hmm. We actually did a podcast recently, we just posted one, and it was a best of with Dr. Joblad, it's spelled Joblad, mm-hmm. about natural fertility. Also, a couple of years ago, we did a podcast with Jacqueline Chassie, spelled Chasse, who is a naturopathic physician in New Hampshire who specializes in natural fertility. And she actually has a course open to health professionals about natural fertility, but she is also available for a consultation to couples desirous of optimizing their fertility. That's right now her practice focus. This is just one. For me, I'm very eclectic. I do a lot of things. I have many different, types of patients that we see, sort of a general mm-hmm. practice. But her practice is specifically around fertility. So, yeah.
Well, beyond that, even, I would want to make sure, again, getting back to some of the basic things that I would look at for Michelle is I would do basic things like check for toxic burden like mercury, the heavy metals. This is very, very important. There's a particular organic acids panel that checks for toxic burden, and coming back to New York State, Dr. Hoffman, that test is not allowed here. Mm-hmm. So, Michelle, if you live in any other state of this union, you could probably find a practitioner that can test you for all those things and detox you properly mm-hmm. for the things that you need to be detoxed for.
Right. I also mentioned in terms of supplements that I think one of the most important things is to check your omega-3 status because inadequate levels of omega-3 both create problems for the offspring in terms of brain development, especially DHA, mm-hmm. but also it's been shown that omega-3 fatty acids can reduce the risk of miscarriage or premature birth. So mm-hmm. it would be important to assess that. But this is verging on a consult, you know, that
it is a very
exhaustive kind of evaluation that we might do over a period of hours or a couple of visits with patients.
Right. Michelle, thank you very, very much for your very thoughtful question, and best of luck to you. Best of luck.
Right. Okay. So our listeners know that we divide our podcast into two parts. We will pause and rejoin you for part two of our weekly Q&A mm-hmm. with Layla. And Layla, give us a bit of a heads up on what we'll talk about in part two.
How do you tell if your blood can get too thin? Is there a lab?
Okay, interesting question. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, today with Hoffman Center nutritionist Layla Mudin. We'll be right back with more of our weekly Q&A with Layla.